Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode, the first of 2024. It's House Meeting.
House meeting! Gosh, it feels like a lot. We're a long way into 2024 for it to be the first one.
I know. You know what? We're into the second month already.
Oh,
but we've taken a month off. You know, I think we can allow ourselves that. We work hard on this podcast. You know, we're putting a podcast out every week. We're putting stuff out on the Patreon every week. You know, we allow us January to come back. And you know what? The proof is in the pudding, because you're going to hear this episode and think, you know what? They sound well rested.
So fresh.
They sound so relaxed. Freshest. So ready. So ready to face the year. Before we get started, though, folks, we do have to tell you that we've got a couple of Pappy's Flatshare Slam Downs happening this month. The 19th of February and the 20th of February, happening at the Phoenix in London. And my goodness, we've got some good guests. Really strong guests. We got Alex Brooker and Morgan Rees on the first one. Alex Brooker from The Last Leg. Morgan Rees from Instagram, and just being a very fantastic stand-up. On Tuesday, February the 20th, we've got Lucy Porter, the brilliant Lucy Porter, who we've known for absolutely years, but we've never had on. Yeah. So it's a real delight to have her on the pod.
No.
And,
Porter's making her debut.
Yeah, can you believe it? The debutante, Lucy Porter.
And actually, wow-wee.
Do you know what? Talk about bang for your buck. We've got two more guests, because we've got Flo and Joan, the brilliant musical comedians Flo and Joan, are going to be joining us as well, who are going to be a team to themselves. So, Yeah, if you want to come along, go to Pappy's.
Sisters!
If you want to come along, you can go to Pappy's.
That's so fresh, guys.
That, by the way,
so fresh.
That's a reference for anybody else who saw Tom Jones play the afternoon slot at Latitude about 12 years ago. Anyway. But he introduces backing dancers, with his backing singers, and he introduced them, and afterwards went, Sisters! Anyway,
it's a big ref. Yeah, it's a big ref.
Listen, the more important ref is the ticket link, and it is pappiescomedy.com/live to get tickets for either the Alex Brooker and Morgan Rees show, or the Lucy Porter and Flo and Joan show, or you can get a discounted ticket that gets you into both shows. You know, we've just finished a run of two fantastic Flatshare Slam Downs at the Phoenix, and it was great to see the same familiar faces popping up both nights. We love that. It's great.
We do indeed. Two very different energies, the Monday night and the Tuesday night, and I'm into both of them.
Yeah, absolutely right. One's got a real Monday feel. The other one, you know, unmistakably Tuesday.
The malaise of Tuesday.
The weird thing is, it was the Monday that had the Tuesday vibe, and the Tuesday that had the Monday vibe. Listen, we just play the gig that's in front of us. What else can we do?
Yeah. It's all you can do.
It's all you can do. Also, if you're a Patreon member, there is a promo code that gets you discounted tickets to all three of those particular tickets. So,
what?
So, worth joining the Patreon.
Did I sign off on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, Tom.
Okay. We'll talk about it afterwards.
For you, yeah. You know what? I think you're such an integral part of this. I'm willing to give you the promo code if you just chuck me a couple of quid.
Okay.
Just spend money. Brothers! So yeah, patreon.com/pappiesflatshare, pappiescomedy.com/live. Come and see us on the 19th and 20th of February with Alex Brooker, Morgan Rees, Lucy Porter, and Flo and Joan. See you there.
That's going to be a treat. And speaking of treats, let's get into the first house meeting. Dans la Annie. Roll tape.
I
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
Open house today at my house. If you're free, if you fancy it.
It's an open house at your house today.
It's open house for an hour and a half. We're on the market.
Are you?
Are you? You only just bought the place.
Yeah, that's right. In and out. It's haunted. I hope my buyers is. It's been terrifically haunted. Got to get out. It's weird, isn't it? I don't know your experiences of trying to have people come around and look where you've been, like, shitting and eating like animals, but like
you'd I've never been to your house, but what do you mean you're shitting and eating like animals? What are you selling your cave finally?
It honks of piss, basically. We've got two absolute piss monsters as for children who just have no regard for carpets, so I've just been running around spraying Lush body spray from my wife's cabinet to try and cover the piss smell. It's an absolute disgrace. But what I was thinking was
just put it down fresh sawdust.
I was thinking, is there a listener dear out there who wants to own a piece of podcasting history? Because you could own the very house.
Not now. Do you want to own a piece of podcasting history?
The thing about it is what you often have to do with when you're having an open house is you have to get a lot of your stuff and either like stick it in the boot of the car or whatever, or put it in the shed or drop it around to your neighbours. I think the key item you need to remove from your house during the open house, Tom, is you.
I mean,
I think that is the crucial thing. I think whoever's coming into the house cannot see you.
Wise words.
You need to be elsewhere.
Well, I was going to stay in the shed, and then Jane said, "Do not stay in the shed. That's worse." I get to the bottom of the garden and it's like, hi, I'm in here. Do you like to buy? the worst thing I think I've done is, in a panic, I've thrown everything into my car.
Yeah.
But my car is parked directly outside the front door.
No, no, no. You've got to drive the car around the corner, mate.
Drive it around the corner and set it on fire, for the love of God.
Yeah, they'll clock that.
Oh, my God. This is funny. We've just had an email through. We're emailing to confirm that the viewing booked for 11 a.m. has been cancelled. Is this going out live? Have I done myself over there? Everyone's dropping out.
You're listening to Right Move Pod.
Oh my God. Now we're talking.
Are we?
Yeah, Right Move bungles a load of cash to go and check out houses that they've just put on the market. We big them up, but in an amusing way, something estate agents are incapable of.
No, Tom. Yeah, Tom. Why? I've got a career. I don't want to become an estate agent.
I don't. I do.
Yeah. This is the balance of the group, Crosby. We have to look for work. I know you don't need work, but we do have to look for work. This is the balance of the group.
Yeah, but we're doing our work at the moment, Tom. This is our work.
Yeah, but Right Move Pod will go through the fucking roof. Do you know the amount of people who are on Right Move, even though they're not moving?
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're just like noodle away.
It's a fun
like,
website.
It's like
it?
Instagram,
yeah.
Basically, yeah. For people. They just go like, oh, yeah. And it's like, oh, I didn't know you were moving house. And they go, I'm not.
Is this a conversation you have with your wife? Didn't know you were moving house. We are.
You're not.
You're not.
The piss monster stays at home. Oh, okay. But my point was going to be,
yes.
Do you think if I whack a blue plaque on the front of it, it might shift quicker?
Oh.
That's a great idea. What's the sort of legality of that? It's sort of like, there's not, you know, I appreciate there is there's an organisation that decides who puts a blue plaque where.
Led by
donkeys. But it's not a legal thing, is it? It wouldn't be illegal to put a blue plaque outside your own house.
I don't think so. It's my house, isn't it?
Yeah. You can decorate it however you like.
I'm pissing it how I want to, thank you.
And you do.
So, yeah, I was thinking, like, if you just whack a blue plaque on and
Who are you going to go for, though?
Yeah, that's it. Who sells the house the best?
Oh, I think you'd have to be legit. I'd draw the line at lying about the blue plaque.
Oh. So,
for example,
Tom, are you suggesting you're blue plaquing yourself here?
Well, I'm not going to blue plaque my 3-year-old daughter, am I? There are perverts everywhere. When I moved into a flat in Crystal Palace, the flat next to me, I was out on the balcony and I had a chat to the neighbour, and the neighbour said, oh, the person who used to own that house wrote Peppa Pig.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And then went off and on they went into the world. And I was like, fucking hell. I tell you what, I wouldn't have thought, I mean, I liked the place in the first place, but if they'd have blue plaqued that, I wouldn't have even gone in. I'd have signed on the line straight away.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We
that could have gone one or two ways.
Yeah, I did wonder.
I absolutely hate Peppa Pig. We looked at a few places because there's a lot of blue plaques around sort of the sort of southeast, and we looked at Shackleton's place.
Did you?
Yeah,
that's just up the road from me. That.
Yeah, we looked at that, but what?
Is it cold?
It was absolutely freezing. Yeah.
Oh, trying to get up those stairs.
You know, often they say put on those little stretchy blue things over your shoes. We had to put tennis rackets on the bottom of our shoes just to get up. Absolutely awful. But it was, no, crucially, it was Shackleton's house that they divided into, I'm going to say, 337 flats.
Right, so you can
used to live one dude, and now it was like, oh, it could live, you know, this could fit a family of four in. Couldn't. It really couldn't. The house could, but Shackleton's flat couldn't. Yeah.
Well, Shackleton liked his space, didn't he, famously? So you wouldn't get Shackleton into a small hole unless it's in the middle of the Antarctic.
You get him into a small pole.
Exactly. He's coming back from a trek. There's no way he's coming back from a trek and going into a tiny little, you know, one room bedsit. Nah. It's just not in his nature. It's just not in Shackleton's nature.
I bet it was an absolute nightmare being married to Shackleton.
Yeah.
You can't imagine him being a fun dad. Or, like, A, he's off and about for years.
He's got a tremendous sense of adventure, Tom. You've got to say that about him.
I don't think it's a family sense of adventure, is it? It's not like, kids, guess what we're doing next weekend?
Imagine the Boxing Day walk. Ugh.
He's fucking off for a long time. He's coming back with really bleak anecdotes.
Lost another finger
and a stench. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be.
It's not a million miles away from you nipping down to London to do Flatshare Slam Down.
It's not a million miles away from you know, being with a touring sketch comedian / podcaster, which is that's what I'm talking about going on a blue plaque. Anyway. Yeah, go on. So Shackleton was the first blue plaque place,
and then and then after we got our place. And there was, you know, you remember lockdown, you couldn't really kind of do anything. All I would do with my daughter was just wander around the streets. I'd push her around in the pram, wandering around the streets. And I walked past Thomas Crapper's house. And the toilet man.
Yeah.
The toilet man.
Tom, the toilet man. I walked past Thomas Crapper's house and I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, that's Thomas Crapper's house. And as I shouted it, it turned out the person who was living in there was actually just behind the wall doing some gardening. And like, so they popped up from behind the wall and said, yeah, isn't it amazing? This is Thomas Crapper's house. And I said to them, I thought, have you still got all the old plumbing?
Wow.
And they're like, no.
very personal question.
You haven't been for the snip then.
Were they taking a shit behind that wall? Because that would have really been the icing on the cake for me.
I think that's the worst icing you've ever
said. You've got a very
cake.
The piping on the cake.
That's the case. If you think that if seeing somebody taking a shit by Thomas Crapper's house, what you need to do is find a piss related person, because your house already stinks of piss, make a piss related plaque for the blue plaque. Who's famous?
The boy in the fountain in Belgium.
Yes, that's what we're talking about. Exactly right. Now we've got it. The pissing boy in the Belgian statue. Say that he used to live there. And then people go, well, of course it reeks. It reeks of history is what it reeks. It reeks. It reeks of, it reeks of Belgian history. And you can have a slice of that if you want to.
We're quite a long way from Belgium is my only concern.
He's traveling. You telling me what you tell him he lived all his life in Belgium. He had the Shackleton spirit. He traveled around the world. He spent a little bit of time in Exeter.
He pissed in every fountain he found.
Absolutely. And it was only the Belgians who accepted him. Like, he was honestly, and he traveled across the globe pissing into bodies of water. And
it was
no,
only the Belgians. Who had the liquid nitrogen fountain that undid him. He wasn't ready for the liquid nitrogen of the Bruges.
House meeting.
I live in a house made of iron sheeting.
House meeting.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I like this angle. This might be what I've been looking for, actually, because I have got a small. I've got a small plaque of the pissing boy that I could put on the front door, maybe.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
got like a little bronze working of him.
That's the way to do it. What is the story behind our friend the pissing boy?
It's a great question. Because was he the antithesis of the guy who put his finger in the dam? Or is it the same?
He was filling it the other side.
Is it the same? It's either, yeah, like, I'm sure there's got to be a connection there. Either he was filling it the other side, or he was stood the other side, facing the other way with a cheeky smile on his face. It was a glory dam.
This could all have been ended if he literally popped his finger up his one eye. Is that what you're saying? The dam would
they should
have
got together. Yeah, I'm sure there must be some kind of relation to the two of them. Is there a statue to the guy who put his finger in the dam?
I don't know. That's
good, he has mythical. When you're a kid, mythical status, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I don't think I've heard of that story since I was a child.
It's big news
but
when you're a
but
kid.
But it felt like I was told it every week when I
every three or four school assemblies, they Clark, trot him out.
Clark, it's because we're so old. That was current affairs when that story came. That's the reason you heard it as a child. It happened when we were 10 years old.
Where are you now? Do you reckon he's going to crop up on an episode, on a series of Celebrity Big Brother?
Oh, you know what? ITV have pulled out all the stops. They've got the pissing boy and the guy who stuck his finger in the dam.
Is Tarantino going to give them a Hollywood style third act?
Rewrite the story, change the history of it. He doesn't stick his finger in the dam. Everything gets floods and Hitler dies.
Oh yeah, cast him in one of his films, but yeah, I'd be down for that. I'd be down for a film about the man who put his finger in a dam.
I think wouldn't you go and see a movie that was just called Dam, and was by Quentin Tarantino? Of course you would.
Yeah,
it would feel like another exploitation movie, but
he's done it again.
the boy done good.
So Crapper, on the other hand, would have been a great dad. He'd got done. He didn't get done. Obviously, he's famously mislabeled as the person who invented the flushing toilet. But ooh, he didn't invent the flushing toilet.
What did he invent? He just...
He just sold them very successfully.
Just popularised it.
So, right. Down the line, yeah.
And this is Nick, because wasn't there, I could be getting this wrong, but
go on.
Wasn't there at the Crystal Palace, one of the big selling features of it was the fact that they had flushable toilets, the first time they had public flushing toilets, and it was a penny to go, and that's where
spend a penny
comes from.
Yeah.
So why have we gone back? Because I've been to Crystal Palace Park and there are no flushable toilets there now. What's happened?
It's very true.
What's happened since the 1850s that we can't now have a functioning flushable toilet in our park?
It's the Tories.
Crystal Palace does have problems in that regard, doesn't it? Because it's a place that is very much, it had its heyday right at the start, and it can only be downhill for Crystal Palace.
Yeah,
albeit with a series of rises and falls, but there is only one direction for Crystal Palace.
Yeah, true.
Well, you know that there was talk back when I was living in the area. There was talk for a long time that there'd been some international investors had decided to rebuild the Crystal Palace,
Belgium,
and I believe Chinese, but. Yeah, I don't think that happened in the end.
No, I mean, no, definitely didn't happen.
I know for a fact it didn't happen, because I'd be able to walk up the hill and see it.
I've been looking for it. I thought it was supposed to be massive.
They got the dimensions wrong, like in Spinal Tap.
Do you think there's going to be a glut of blue plaques in about 15 years' time that are podcast related? Originating from the pandemic, like,
ooh.
Do you think they'll be like, "This is where we first started," blah blah pod or whatever?
It's a good one.
The rush of people doing things from home might bring the blue plaque back in a big way.
Yeah, that's true. Actually,
how do you have to? Do you have to have passed on to get the blue plaque? You don't, do you? Because there are blue plaques for people like Paul McCartney and stuff like that, right?
Right. Yes.
Is that true? I don't know. Who is the most recent blue plaque? Like, you
great,
know, are they doing one for Stephen Mulhern?
Is it Joe Wick? Yeah, that's what I was going for. Is it Joe Wick's?
Joe Wick's the body coach. Yeah. I mean, I imagine the house that he was using in lockdown is probably still his house. We don't all have the slap happy attitude to moving house that you do, Tom.
Joe Wicks famously doesn't piss everywhere. That's the why he hasn't got a scorched earth policy. Very hard, and let me tell you, it's very hard to scorch an earth that sodden. I should know.
Have you considered just getting new carpets?
God, or is that just not? No way.
Or getting some Antico flooring or something.
How would that happen? How would you even begin to go about that sort of thing? Far too much hassle.
I would say it's less hassle than
much easier to move house.
Entirely uprooting your entire
family. Much easier to move house.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with your shed? Because you've spent a lot of time working on this shed. You've got a shed in your back garden that you record your podcast from. You write your successful
live from
films
the shed
in.
Right now.
Exactly. Yeah. What are you going to do? Are you going to take the shed with you, or are you going to leave the shed?
I'm going to donate the shed to science.
I mean, if anything, the shed should have the blue plaque.
The shed will stay, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's going to be quite a tough thing because you put a lot of work into that shed.
Do you know what? It's going to be okay. My plan is for a bigger and better shed, and so
yeah.
If you know, I mean, it's not like it's not going to be as emotional, I don't think, as you think it might be. It's going to be hopefully progress. If I move into a smaller shed, then I would feel quite. Reluctant to be going, but
Parry live from the hutch.
So yeah, we'll see. But you know, I like the shed. Don't get me wrong, I do like the shed. But it's the people in a shed that make a shed a show. if you could, if you could move into a blue plaque, whose house would you want?
Someone really rich with a massive house.
I guess.
I sort of like, I wouldn't be like, you know,
I don't know though. No, I don't
know. It was, you know, if it was someone I, you know, like say it was, you know, Paul McCartney's house. If it was the house he grew up in, I wouldn't be that bothered about it. You know, like if it was one of Paul McCartney's current houses, I'd be, yeah, all right, I'll take one of those. Yeah, I'll have the one in London if that's okay.
I don't know though. Would you want to be the, like, apart from the obvious splendor, but do you not feel like you'd always be the guy who's living in Bono's house, for example, if it was Bono's house?
Salman Rushdie.
If I was like, has Salman Rushdie moved into Bono's house?
No, he moved in during the fatwa was on him. He lived in the shed at the bottom of Bono's garden for a bit.
There you go. Put out some of his best podcasts during those years.
Absolutely. They couldn't put a blue plaque up because he had a fatwa on him. If Bono said, oh, by the way, Salman, I've popped a blue plaque outside the shed. Salman would be like, listen, I love the gesture of it, but could but you please take
it's
down?
It's blue on the outside, then it's yellow, then it's red on the middle.
You don't want to always be the guy who is, you know, in Bono's house, I think.
You'd always be thinking, well, like, the people, like, the thing you're thinking currently is, I'm the best person to have lived in this house. Is that what you're thinking? Because I don't used to know who used to live in our house. I know who we bought it from, but I don't know who used to live in it, like, apart from that. So I don't know the history of it. But I don't think about it as a problem.
All I know about the people who we bought from is that they liked Adam Buxton's podcast because they had a picture up of Adam Buxton's podcast framed.
What?
And
did you buy Adam Buxton's house?
Oh, no, but they were Adam Buxton fans to the point where when we were in amongst the offers and there were other people offering, I tried to find a way to be like,
you didn't.
I've
did you reach out?
I know Adam Buxton's been on our podcast.
Did you?
really
What did
you know,
you,
desperate
what did
times.
You, what did you say? Well, it worked.
Well, yeah, that's it.
I said, look, do you like Adam Buxton? He's on the wall there. Yeah, we like Adam Buxton. Ah, yeah, he's been on my podcast.
What did they
225?
Say?
225?
And they're like, we don't care what time he was on, which episode was it?
It's all, you know.
Actually, the 225's been cancelled.
Oh, boy.
You know, you got to do what it takes in this business. It's cloak and dagger. On the housing market, skullduggery, cloak and dagger.
So this is why you want to put the blue plaque up about your. You're thinking, look, all you need is a podcasting fan. You bought from a podcasting fan. All you need to sell to a podcasting fan. Now this is starting to make sense. It's clicking into place. This is making sense now.
I've taken down all the family photos.
Yeah.
And replaced them with any pictures I could find of us podcasting.
Adam Buxton. You've built a shrine to Adam Buxton in your house.
Just, you know, any of the old kind of, here's our guest this week on Flatshare Slam Down, you know, I've stuck those up, you know, those little images that you put online, I've put those up.
Yeah, great.
You know, just surrounded the house with those kind of things. Left old mics around. I'm just saying, Mike, if Bubbins, someone, you know... You know, regale them with anecdotes, put them off the piss smell. That's from the house, it's not from Mike Bubbins, I should say.
Mike Bubbins is one of the most fragrant podcasters out there. In fact, if anything, it's a shame it's mainly podcasting he does, because if you get up close to a Mike Bubbins, Oh, the scent. The scent of the man.
You leave going, I think I should start wearing aftershave. You go kind of go like, I kind of go like, oh, well, you should get your aftershave out because
get yourself aftershave's a bit of good.
It's a force for good, and then you get your old aftershave out and you realise your old aftershave is not a force for good.
It's worse than the spit smell.
I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting.
Where are you guys on your aftershave journeys? Have you got one now these days?
I'd say I'm mostly after my aftershave journey.
Well, yeah, it's like I don't put it on as an aftershave because I've got a beard, but I do wear a cologne. Yeah.
Is it full on aftershave or is it eau de toilette?
It's an eau de toilette. You know, just a little spritz every day.
Yeah.
I like it.
And is it a new... How long have you been with that fragrance?
Oh, I mix it up. I mix it up every now and then. You know.
Oh, you don't
make it around. Yeah.
Like George's marvelous medicine.
Would you mind sending me a sample of your carpet, actually? Because I come up with a brand new idea. My own personal Goop laboratory, yeah.
Piss carpet for men.
Yeah. No, I tend to just like, if I'm off on holiday, or if I'm traveling through an airport for work, then I might go to the duty free and try a few samples and see what works and pick up some stuff from there. That's kind of how it works. I don't have one. I've got a few.
The good thing about that is you get to feel a bit like a spy on holiday.
Go on.
Yes, let's hear why. But shopping in duty free makes you feel like a spy. I get two large Toblerones and I use my binoculars.
You can't be a spy. Look at him.
why am I like a spy?
I'm just thinking, if you buy it on your way out,
that spy just clips someone to death with a massive chuppa chup.
And then you can chain smoke 200 fags just like a spy.
Why is that spy having an asthma attack? It's because he's a non-smoker who for some reason he's just absolutely chinned 200 Benson and Hedges. You're supposed to transform the outside of you, not the inside of you. They'll never recognise these lungs when I'm finished with them.
I tell you what, he's got black plaque, that one.
That's just something he gobbed onto the wall afterwards.
It's hardly incognito.
So go on, Barry, tell us why buying a perfume from the duty free makes you feel like a spy on holiday. And also, that's the thing as well, why? Why is a spy on holiday? Like, surely a spy on holiday is not being a spy.
No. You don't feel like a spy on holiday. You feel like a spy if you're on holiday and wearing a new scent, because it's like you've got a new identity.
So like, you need to go find this man. He smells of Lynx Africa.
I would watch that, actually. A blind spy with a really strong sense of scent. we'll get back to that. So no, we won't. I'm just saying, you end up in a new country,
yeah,
with a new smell.
Yes,
you'd feel like a different person.
Well, I think that's
you've reinvented
true of,
yourself in you two know what? Steps.
I think that's definitely true of holidays anyway. Generally,
yeah, but the new scent's gonna—that's the bit that tips it into espionage.
The new scent. Because you'll often buy some clothes for your holidays. You know, for me, it's always, I'll be on holiday and I'll think, I will start wearing hats when I return.
Exactly. Like a spy would.
Like a spy would. I'm going to start wearing hats when I return to London. And of course, you never do. You never do, do you?
That's good reason.
You know. That's why, you know, it was a short-lived period of me having cornrows, It felt so right on the beaches of Barbados. But you know what? When I came back, I thought, actually, mate, this is when you arrive at Gatwick. No,
just head a face tattoo. Do you know what? I'm leaving it all behind.
My spying days are over.
Exactly that. You're on holiday. You wear a hat. You wear sunglasses. You smell differently. You're taking an interest in the people around you. It's the closest you get to spying.
It's true, yeah. It's true. You might even perhaps, like, you know, like if you're clean shaven, grow out the beard for the holiday, you know, like just you can really relax. There is an element of changing your, you feel different. You feel different on holiday. It's true. Yeah, you know what, Tom? I stand corrected.
Thank you. Wow.
When I get home, I'm going to walk around just in trunks. For a week. This is me now.
Delighted we got that. Didn't think we would land that plane, but we did in the end.
Tom, do you think this is what you should do? You should have on your blue plaque, you know, Tom Parry lived here, podcaster and spy, but spy is crossed out.
That was my Twitter handle, was it?
Was it podcaster and spy?
It was podcaster, writer, director, spy, or writer, director, podcaster, spy. And someone got in touch with me to say, "Are you really a spy?" And I said, "No, it's a joke." There we go.
That's exactly what I'm
to. Oh, the absolute joy of social media. We've got this at the moment where I found an old photograph of us from 2012, of us, a little publicity photo we had done, of us standing in a bin. Do you remember that photo? I popped it up on social media, and it's a big bin. It's one of those like giant like vat type bins with like Edinburgh written on the front of it, and. It's us crouching inside this bin. Well, I'm not crouching, but there's two crouching inside the bin. And I put in, like, you know, this is a blast from the past, 2012, photo taken by Lewis DiCarlo. I forget which city, right? You know, a lovely bit of business.
Lovely,
there.
Classic bit of business.
The number of people who earnestly said, "Oh, from the look of it, it's Edinburgh." Jesus. Come on, guys, please. Yeah. It almost makes you not want to bother.
But bother we do.
But Tom, to that question though, obviously a spy would say no.
Exactly. I read the other day about how, as well, like, one of the big mistakes people make because of Bond is people assume spies are cool and are, you know, charming, debonair people, whereas in reality the real spies are absolutely boring as shit.
They have to be.
Yeah, they're the people you least expect to be a spy. Them, the spies.
If you're walking in looking amazing, being suave, being debonair, being phenomenally handsome, you're going to draw attention. If Brosnan walks into a room, everyone's looking at Brosnan.
Yeah,
ditto.
It's the guy behind
Connery,
Brosnan.
Moore, even Lazenby, you know. Daniel Craig, these are remarkable people. They look remarkable. You can't have that as a spy.
Do you think that there's another job then that is really sexy that we view as unsexy?
Podcasting. Yes.
Of course. It was staring us right in the face the whole time.
I'm a podcaster, the least sexy sentence in the English language. That's what's on my blue plaque.
I'll take it. Could you put on your blue plaque, do you know Adam Buxton? The people who lived in this house before me loved him.
He was on my podcast once.
He was on my podcast once.
Yeah. Adam Buxton in big letters, and then...
I mean, that's what it'll be. It'll be Tom Parry lived here, you know, 2021 to 2024, had Adam Buxton on his podcast once.
Yeah. And then slightly smaller, crucially not in this house.
Brackets that stinks of piss.
Adam Buxton refused to go into Tom's house. Did it from his own house in Norwich.
Well, anyway, wish me luck on the open house.
Yeah, we'll
yeah,
do,
good luck, man. It's 10 o'clock now. You know, I know your 11's been cancelled. How many are you supposed to be seeing today? How many people are supposed to be showing up? Well, I guess it's open house, isn't it?
It's open house.
Just as many people as
coming. Yeah, come one, come all, and they can just. Is it like a bring and buy sale? Is that right?
Yeah,
I've labelled everything up. Prices.
Well, have you done that thing? Have you baked? Or have you like got that going on?
That's
you
know, my hard out. I'm going to go and, well, I'm going to settle for a pot of coffee. I was going to do some croissants, but I forgot.
Coffee and croissants.
You, the thing
idea.
I'm desperate to do, because there was a viewing last week, which was just a solo person coming to view. I really wanted to cook a meal and set them a place at the table. and then they arrive and it's like, come in, sit down, shepherd's pie, all right? And just see what they do.
Like, and they're like, oh, sorry, am I? I thought I was buying this place, not being your flatmate.
No, sure, you can buy it if you want. Yeah, great, glass of wine, great. So, anyway, this is Jane, and we, you know,
I'll say one thing: you are great company over dinner. So I think you know, like it's a bit like sort of, you know, speed dating.
That felt
isn't
like
it?
A real caveat. After dinner, he's good company. But honestly, as soon as you put that dessert spoon down, call the cab.
Call the cops. No, you're that's the thing, you know, it's like with speed dating, you sort of think, is that enough time to really make the impression I want to make? Whereas with this, yeah, you know, you sit them down over dinner, you have the dinner first, you chat to them, you know, you tell them some of your anecdotes, you tell them about Buxton, all of that kind of stuff, you know.
My only anecdote.
Yeah, well, I was gonna. You've got two Buxton anecdotes because you've got the Buxton coming on the podcast and playing the Buxton Fringe.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And I believe, did you not also once drink a bottle of fizzy water as well?
Well, so, don't go burning that. I told you to leave that one off the pod because that's my tour. So if you want to see the third Buxton anecdote, which is the title of my upcoming tour, it's kind of been burnt now. Thank you, Matthew. But
sorry.
Tom Parry's third Buxton anecdote will be on tour. We're already playing Buxton. But it's a lovely place to go. And my tour sport, Adam Buxton. So anyway.
I tell you what, that's got leave at the interval written all over it, mate.
Well, he told it in the first 5 minutes. Where did it go from here?
I said it when I brought him on. Oh, no.
Well, anyway, good luck, anyway. Tom. We will put the Right Move link in the show notes to the show. So guys, come and see us. We're doing shows in February for Flatshare Slamdown. Yeah. And don't forget, Tom's house is also available for sale.
And remember the Patreon. There's the Patreon discount. If you're a fan of the show, then support the Patreon. You know, you can do it for £4 a month, or there's a £10 tier, or there is, you know, £290,000 tier where you get a house and a shed that has had this podcast in it. Okay, well, anyway, support the Patreon and Right Move. go through to the kitchen, it's fine. Yeah, it's like a kitchen diner, it's quite nice. Yeah.
Oh, no, God, it started right. Listen, we better let you go. Thank you so much for your time, Tom, and
support the housing market, guys, honestly.
We'll let you know.
Keep buying and selling those houses. It's the lifeblood of Britain, the housing market. Let's get that housing market going. Speak to you later.
House meeting.
Cold rain or hot snow? What is sleeting?
House meeting.
Well, there we go. You can't say anything fairer than that's one chalked off the list.
Absolutely. That is absolutely, you know what? It's the first one of the year and that is it. Tickety tick. Rack it up, guys. Chalk it up, rack it up, enjoy it.
It's gone, it's done, on to the next one.
Absolutely.
It'll be soon.
Done and done and on to the next one. To quote Dave Grohl in the song All My Life.
Yes.
Do you know what he's singing about there?
No.
House meetings?
You know what? Very much the house meeting of the sexual world. He's singing about going down on women.
What?
Yeah, genuinely.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Done and done and I'm on to the next one.
Yeah, done, on to the next one. He loves it, but he hates the taste. Genuinely. That's what he wanted to write a song about. And why not? More power to you. You know what?
So all his life he's been looking for someone who he likes going down on.
Pretty much, yeah. I think that's it. You can check it out, mate. You can Google it for your own selves if you like.
No, I'm Googling it, all right.
You got to Google it,
I'm not Googling
it,
the song.
But anyway, more power to Dave and...
Foo Fighters.
And, of course, the... oh, my God. Parry! I tell you what, 2024 has not de-cheekified you, has it? That's not your New Year's resolution.
Well, anyway, all power to... people out there receiving cunnilingus from Dave Grohl.
Absolutely.
I hope it's going better than it used to do. Anyway, that another one for the books.
At least you've got someone to chat to while it happens.
We'll see. Does he line? Yeah. Is it some kind of record attempt?
Yeah. Like when Mike Bubbins tried to hug as many people as possible. Then
yeah.
The record has now been broken by the bloke from... What's he from? From Made in Chelsea.
It was on Live on This Morning, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Did Bubbins try to do that record?
Bubbins tried it. Bubbins tried to do the most hugs, and he beat the world record. But unfortunately, and it was on a live TV show with Alex Jones, some Welsh TV show, and he broke the record, but. Then the Norris McWhirter figure, the representative from the Guinness Book of Records, had to step in and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. During the hugging, you stepped away from your mark, and that is part of the rules. You have to stand on the same mark and hug people, but you moved off your mark, so the record is null and void."
Yeah, that's what the second verse is about in Grohl's song.
I'll tell you what, Dave Grohl absolutely hates it when he gets a Norris McWhirter, doesn't he? He can't stand that. Anyway, let's wrap it up and ship it out.
Let's ship it out, this, guys.
Let's get it in the post. Box it up, ship it out, have the rest of the day off. Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team. Corsham team.
Done, and on to the next one. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.